I don't see any of Miss Hope's family here. She's just going to spend the night at the church, I guess. So, open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalm 27. Last Sunday night, we started this message and preached about half of it, and we want to finish it tonight. If you will, stand and we'll begin to read in Psalm 27. How many of you remember being in here on a Wednesday night when a tornado came over and took the steeple off? Okay. Okay, see, it's safe, so don't worry about it. It took the steeple and left the top. We don't have a steeple now, so we had people down between the pews, and ladies were all in the bathroom, or the basements, rather. Some were in the bathrooms. But you could hear people, "Oh, God." You found your place, Psalm 27. David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now, I won't read the rest of that. I'll pick up some of it in the rest of the message. But I want to get started as we look at the passage where Paul said, The one thing that he desired was to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life and to behold the beauty of the Lord. We told you Sunday night that Isaiah said, there is no beauty that anyone should desire him. I explained how that the glimpse we got of Jesus in heaven was as a lamb that had been slain, beaten, bruised, bloody, bleeding. So there was no beauty in that. Isaiah said his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. And yet David said, the thing I desire is to see the beauty of my Lord. And the fact is that even though we look at him in his suffering and bleeding and dying from the other side of the cross, before we knew God, people don't desire him until they get a glimpse and an understanding of their lost condition and what hell is going to be like in eternity. They don't desire him. But once they accept him and come on this side and look back and know it's all the suffering and the bleeding and the dying was for you and me in order that we might be saved, then we can see a beauty there that cannot be described. Father, help me tonight as we talk about the beauty of the Lord and how we can see him in his beauty. Lord, I pray that you'd protect our people wherever they are, in their homes or their cars, or Lord, watch after them and keep them safe from the storm. And then bless us here tonight and thank you for these people who came out. Thank you for the young men that saw the flooding and went to work. Thank you, Father, for those, for Austin and for Derek and for Brandon and for Justin and, Lord, someone else was involved in it. Thank you for Brother Jones, boy. And Lord, bless them as they saw a need and went to work to take care of that need. Now, Lord, help us to get something from the message that would help us to love and adore you that much more in our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I told you about the little illustration I read where a family went camping in the wilderness on a vacation, and the mother and children were there working around the campsite, and a little girl wandered off a little way and came in face to face with a bear. And she screamed, and mother ran to her, and she protected the baby, but the bear mauled her and cut her face, and in the process of healing, her face twisted and became so terribly scarred and twisted that people could not look upon her face. She wore a veil to when she had to go out into public. It was grotesque. It was so bad. And as the little girl grew older and remembering what her mother did for her as a young lady now, would rub her hands over the scars of mother's face and tell her how beautiful she was. And she was beautiful because she remembered what her mother had done for her. I was thinking about my mom. I remember when my mom was young. I can't ever remember when she was real young because I was the last of seven children. But after seven children and raising us, she lost her girly figure and her youth, her beauty and blush of youth. And as she worked to take care of us, cooked and scrubbed the floors and worked in the field and washed the clothes by hand outside in old wash pot and tubs, hung them out, ironed them with a smoothing iron before we had electricity. And I watched her as she got older and older, and her little shoulders started to stoop, and her little hands twisted with arthritis, and lost her eyesight, lost her hearing. And But yet, as I sat there when she was 80 and 90 years old and patted her hands, I thought how beautiful she was because of what she had done for me and her family, the sacrifices she made just so we could grow up and have it better. And don't you forget that Jesus sacrificed so we could have life everlasting. He sacrificed Himself so we could have a life worth living here and heaven to look forward to in eternity. And we told you that David said some of the places we can behold His beauty is verse number 4 is in the house of worship, the Lord's house. When we come to God's house and see God's people and the redeemed, and I saw the souls get saved Sunday, 100. And then we found out that 59 more were saved in children's churches in the Spanish. So 159 precious souls were saved. 41 were baptized. And when I came to God's house and saw all of that, I didn't see how good man was. I saw how beautiful he was because it was his doing, his work, his blessing. And then I told you how David said that the beauty of the Lord could be seen in the times He has delivered His children from harm and sin and danger. And the beauty of the Lord can be seen only when we're on the right foundation, the rock, verse number 5. And I promise you, if you're not living on the foundation of Jesus Christ, Christianity is not beautiful to you. The church is not beautiful to you. The Bible is not beautiful to you, and the Christ of the Bible is not beautiful to you. But when you're on the rock, Christ Jesus, when you're on the right foundation and you look at Him and see Him from our vantage point of the rock, in Christ, on Christ, we see a beauty that the world cannot understand. And then I also told you that David said the beauty of the Lord could be seen in the joy of His people. If the world's ever going to see Christianity and want it, they've got to see Christians that are happy about being saved. They've got to see Christians happy about being a part of His church family. They've got to see Christians that are happy, that are full of joy about the opportunity to worship Him and to praise Him. I'm afraid we look at our clock and say, oh, it's church time again. When we ought to be rejoicing that it is church time and we have an opportunity to come and worship God. And I believe you're here tonight because that was your desire. My goodness, the storm was bad. The wind was blowing. It was awful outside and worse in some places than others. And yet you're here tonight not because anybody made you, but because you wanted to be here for Christ's sake, to worship Him. And then let me begin tonight in verse number 6 and say to you that the beauty of the Lord is not only seen, but it's heard in the songs of the saints. Look at verse number 6. And now shall mine eyes be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Our singing unto God are sacrifices of joy. Oh, my soul, the Bible is full of illustrations and examples of people singing. The one thing we can do when we come together is not just sit, but as we sing together the songs of Zion, it ought to show forth Christ in a new beauty to those that are hearing and those that are watching. Now, by the way, the beauty may not be seen in our singing, but it ought to be heard. His beauty ought to be heard. His beauty ought to light up our faces while we sing. Now, you know the old country western drunk, he sings songs about his dog dying and his girl running off with another fella and him losing his pickup, and they're always sad. But our songs aren't country songs. Our songs are songs of praise and worship and testimony. And they ought not be, if tears fall, they ought to be tears of joy because of who we're singing about and what we're singing about. You know, there's no mention of singing in the book of Genesis. The word sing or singing is not mentioned. It's not mentioned in the Bible until Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, Moses sang victory songs, magnifying God. In verse number 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea. You know, if Moses could sing, we could sing. If George Villa can sing, we could sing. He didn't say we have to have a beautiful voice. He just said we have to make a joyful noise. That means a noise coming out of a joyful heart. And God accepts that as a sacrifice of joy. A sacrifice of joy, singing. Miriam sang victory songs magnifying God. Exodus 15, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea. She heard that from Moses. Go back over in the book of Judges. Deborah and Barak sang victory songs unto God. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, hear, O ye kings, give ear, ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praises to the Lord God of Israel. And oh my soul, David sang victory songs unto the Lord. We don't have time or space to mention all of them, but let me start back in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50. Sound like Jimmy Jett then. 2 Samuel chapter 22, and verse 50. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name, David said. Again in 1 Chronicles 16:9, David said, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Hezekiah had the Levites sing praises unto God, 2 Chronicles 29:30. The Levites sang praises unto the Lord with the words of David. They sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worship. In the book of Psalms, there were more than 60 references to singing unto the Lord. More than 60. Actually saying the word sing or singing. Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Psalm 47, verse 6 and 7, sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 71, 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. Psalm 95, 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of the mercies and the judgments unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Psalms full of them, just a few. The prophet Isaiah tells us to sing unto the Lord. Isaiah 42, 10, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praises from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Even the weeping prophet Jeremiah told the people to sing. Jeremiah 20, verse 13, sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of evildoers. On and on throughout the Bible, the Bible's a book about singing. And in our songs, we see and people see the beauty of the Lord. Paul, writing to the Romans, declared in Romans 15, verse 8 and 9, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision of the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Paul, while correcting the Corinthians concerning tongues, said, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. The writer of Hebrews is reminding us that the Redeemer sang praises with the disciples. Hebrews 2:12 says, referring to Jesus, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. James, the brother of our Lord, tells us that a merry heart is a singing heart. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. And then God wants you to know that singing's a part of heaven. The Bible tells us in Revelation 15 that saints in heaven are singing. Verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Now, I've simply taken the time to read that to you because God's people are to be a singing people. Now, I promise you, when your heart is right, you're humming, whistling, or singing something. Even Brother Tom Davis come down the hall singing. Walls vibrate when he does, but when his heart is right with God, we have a singing heart. And by the way, when you're not right with God, you don't sing. You can listen to a church and figure out how close to the Lord that church is. And they're singing. Remember Israel? When sin had come into their lives and God had them captive, they lost their song. They hung their harps on the willows. They didn't sing the songs of Zion anymore because sin had stolen their song. Now, I'm saying all of this to say to you tonight, my dear friend, our job is to magnify Christ in a world that knows Him not. We're light shining on a hill. We're the testimony. We're the witness. The only way the world can see Christ is see Him in our life. And if our life is not right so that we've got a song in our heart, it's going to show forth the wrong image of Christ. The world needs to see the beauty of the Lord. And one of the ways the beauty of the Lord is shown is through the singing of the songs of the saints. I've been to church where nobody hardly sang the congregational songs but the leader, the song leader. You don't go away rejoicing. You go away wondering. Why do those people go to church? They're not there to worship God. Hey, listen. Some of you don't pray in public. And some of you are not teachers. And you're not the pastor to do the preaching. Then what part do you have in worship? All of us can sing. All of us can praise His name. And over and over and over again, one of the ways God's children praises God is by singing. And over and over again, as I was looking through the verses that deal with singing and song, all of them, guess who they were singing to? Not to the congregation, they were singing to God. I will sing unto the Lord of His mercies. Over and over again. I've said often from this pulpit, when someone stands up here to sing, there's only one person they ought to be thinking about in the congregation they're singing to, and that's the Lord. It's for His glory. And when we sing unto Him with a heart that's right, with a heart full of joy, guess what? People aren't going to magnify our talents. but they'll see the beauty of the Lord and magnify Him. And oh my, if I could wish for one thing and pray for one thing more from this church, it would be everybody in the congregation join in on the singing. Oh my, what a difference. What a difference it would make in testimony. What a difference it would make in preparing hearts for the preaching. What a difference it would make in inspiring the preacher. I don't know if you know it or not. It's a lot easier to stand up and preach with excitement and fire when you feel and hear the presence of the Lord in the singing of the people. I've been to churches where the singing was so bad the Holy Spirit left. I'm not talking about they couldn't sing. I'm talking about it was awful. It was awful. Congregation of 102 people singing. And one of them was off key. Well, I don't mind that. I don't even mind a congregation, the entire congregation, off key if they're singing with a joyful heart. But one of the ways the beauty of the Lord is seen is through the songs of His saints. And we need to be conscious of that. Our job, the special singers' jobs, are not to stand up here and entertain. They're leading us in praise and worship. When Brother Reed stands up to lead the congregational music, he's giving you an opportunity to magnify the Lord and show forth the beauty of the Lord. Now, be honest with me. The truth is, most of us don't have a lot of beauty about us to be seen. I don't have a lot of people coming up to me and tell me how beautiful I am. But if I'm right with God, and the Spirit of God is magnifying Christ through my life, and somebody can see the beauty of Christ in us, that ought to be more important than compliments of physical beauty. That ought to be our desire. And that is shown forth in the songs of the saints. I've been in churches and I've been here and I've gone away wondering if the people really believed the Bible or were even saved because of the way the song service went. When I hear the congregation sing, and it kind of causes the lights to shake a little bit. Doesn't have to be loud, it's just everybody. It makes my heart shake also with rejoicing, brother, with rejoicing. I'm confident if we would ever get totally right about our singing, the beauty of the Lord could be manifest in such a marvelous way that what we saw Sunday would not be an unusual thing, but a regular thing. You do know that the testimony you present and the testimony you help build here in our service and in our church and as a Christian member of this church is as much a part of this ministry as me standing up here and preaching. Or Brother Reed standing up here leading singing. Or a special musician standing up here and singing. The beauty of the Lord is seen and heard in the songs of the saints. The kind of songs are important. I didn't read you songs out of the Scripture that magnified man. They magnified Christ. They were not songs about our heartaches and heartbreaks, but songs about His blessing and His victory and His goodness and His mercy and His protection and His majesty. Songs of praise and honor to Him. Then let me move on. The beauty of the Lord can not only be seen and heard in the songs of the saints, the beauty of the Lord is seen in His mercy for sinners. Look at verse 7, 8, 9. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also unto me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said, thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. He's singing about the mercy of the Lord. He's saying, in my distress and in my trouble, God heard my cry. He didn't give me what I deserved. He responded in mercy and in grace. And in the mercy of God for sinners, we can see the beauty of the Lord. When I see someone just condemning people, every now and then I see Christians stand up and just begin to condemn everybody. They're pointing out the faults in everybody. I don't see much beauty there. It's kind of sickening, isn't it? You've seen them. Mr. Super Spiritual or Miss Super Spiritual. They're judging everybody and criticizing everybody and finding fault in everybody and glad to point it out. There's no beauty there. Oh my, it's arrogance, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, pride. But when I see someone, some person that reaches down to someone that's down and picks them up, helps a hurting heart, brings a wayward sinner to Jesus, comforts those hearts that are broken. When I see that, I see the beauty of Christ shining in their life. Oh, my dear friend, we can see the beauty of the Lord in His mercy for sinners. When I think about what I deserve and what God gave me because of His grace and mercy, I see a God that's able to deal justly with sin and yet do it in mercy. And you know why He could deal justly with my sin? Because He paid for it Himself. He paid for it. That made it possible for Him to forgive me because He took it upon Himself. And I see the beauty of the Lord in His mercy for sinners. And when we show mercy to those that are hurting, when we show mercy to those that are lost, when we show mercy to those that deserve hell, then the beauty of Christ can be seen in your life and mine too. His beauty is never seen when we elevate ourselves to the place of a judge and we're criticizing and finding fault and pointing out all of their faults. The beauty of the Lord seen in His mercy for sinners. And then seventhly, the beauty of the Lord can be seen in the way He guides His children. Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. Teach me thy way. Someone said, I don't know that God's ever led me. Have you ever read His way? This is His way book. This tells us the course God wants us to take for our life. The beauty of the Lord is seen in His guidance. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now notice, the psalmist is saying he can see the beauty of the Lord in the way He guides us. If you'll let Him, He'll lead you into His perfect will. He shows it right here in the book. He gives the Holy Spirit to us to give us guidance and understanding of the book. When He leads us, He always leads us in the way of light and right. Never in the way of darkness and sin. He leads us in the way of hope. He leads us in the way of blessing. He leads us in the way of usefulness. He leads us even in the way of protection and provision for our life. The psalmist said, I want to know His way. I want to experience His leadership. His way is knowable. He's made it plain. He's written it down in His book. He tells us what to believe and how to worship and who to worship and when to worship. And in the book, as we follow His way, we see His goodness. Not in the hereafter, but now in the land of the living, we can see the goodness of the Lord and the beauty of the Lord when we learn to follow His way. And then may I say, the beauty of the Lord can be seen in the saints' prospect for the future. Look at verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Oh my. Our future's not in this world. Our future's out of this world. And oh, when I see the beauty of the Lord. You know, my wife and I was getting ready to come to church and it was raining. We couldn't even hardly see the road as we drove over here, trying to tie down and batten down everything, get her car in the garage and all of those, taking care of things. I was thinking, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to worry about those things. No storms up there. No hail storms. No tornadoes, no hurricane, no wind, no flooding rain. Oh my. And you know, when I look to the future and see the goodness of God and I see the beauty of the Lord in the future that He has for us. You know, He saved us to give us the best possibilities for life right here and now. Your best possibility in life is in the perfect will of God. When you're out of the perfect will of God, anything you accomplish and do and anything you become is less than what you could have done and could have accomplished and could have become in the perfect will of God. But oh my, He saved us for Himself and for heaven, not for this world. And thank God my future's beyond this world. And when I read about heaven, I read about the coming of Christ and the promises, I see the beauty of the Lord. One day, I won't have to worry about, you won't have to worry about sickness or disease, or you won't have to worry about heart attacks, or you won't have to worry about cancer, diseases, because we have a future to look forward to. I've never met a person excited about going to hell, have you? I've never had a person say, man, I can't wait to see how bright those fires burn. Hey, it's got to be a great place because look how many people's there. I've never heard anybody brag about the beauty of hell. But when I think about heaven, I not only think about how beautiful that place must be, I see the beauty of the Lord in the future He's prepared for His children. And I just want to conclude by saying, look unto the Lord. His beauty can be seen by those who will accept Him as Savior. Obey the Lord. Yield to Him and see that He is good. And live in such a way that others might see His beauty in you. And our book closes in verse number 14 when it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I just want to close by saying, hey, wait on Him. His beauty is worth waiting for. Being able to see the beauty of the Lord in your life or in the life of others is worth waiting on. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for coming out in a stormy night. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have this as our prayer time together. Father, we thank You for tonight. We ask You to protect us as we get ready to go home in a moment. As someone comes to play the piano and we get on